You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, basketball Tigers get a win and for all intents and purposes punch their ticket to the big dance. Baseball Tigers didn't play. Instead, they'll play two today. And also, we'll talk to former LSU hitting coach Sean Ochingo about the power surge with this offense. Some pretty good news out of LSU. The state of Louisiana announced they're moving to phase three. The governor did on Tuesday, which means LSU soon will be at 50% capacity for outdoor venues. So we will soon have larger crowds at the Box and at Tiger Park, and all things are very good and progressing. Same can be said after a one-sided win for LSU against Vanderbilt, which was never really a contest. LSU spurted out of the gate, led 9-0 early, and never looked back. LSU 83-68 winners over Vanderbilt. Here is Will Wade on the win.
All right, it's good to get back on a winning track. I was very proud of our guys. We prepared well. I thought we played really well in the first half, second half. We kind of reverted back to some things, giving up 44 points, and our communication and things defensively wasn't as sharp as we needed it to be. But overall, you know, we needed to find a way to win after coming off last week, and we did that.
So I get it. He's going to talk about the second half defense, but realistically, LSU was up early in this game. They led 46-24 at half, and when you're up 22 points at half against the worst team in the conference, it is a natural human tendency to let down. I don't care how good you are or who you are. That is a natural human tendency. For LSU, though, your big three did it for you. Cam Thomas, 23 points and 10 rebounds. You also got double-doubles from both Trendon Watford and Darius Days. Watford, 14 and 13. Days, 13 and 10. Javonte, just 12 points on the day. But it, as we mentioned, was largely a day where LSU had its way and in the second half maybe got a little sloppy defensively, but I'm less concerned with that. And I was asked the question, you know, with the second half defense, is it concerning considering the second half that Arkansas had on Saturday? Not really, because Arkansas was uncharacteristically poor shooting in the first half of that game. They shot 33%. You knew just based on averages, Arkansas was a better offensive team, and they were missing wide-open looks from three and runners in the lane. That's atypical of Arkansas. They got hot in the second half. Vanderbilt's just not very good, and LSU relaxed. So we know this is never going to be an elite defensive team from LSU, but what they've done with this win now is clinch a double bye in the SEC tournament, and they have essentially punched their ticket to the big dance. Beating Vanderbilt didn't put you in, but again, losing to Vanderbilt would have been a bad loss, three straight losses, and then would have meant you would have had to go win at Missouri or in the SEC tournament, because had you lost both of those, then you would have been on a five-game losing streak with two bad losses, and that would have played yourself squarely onto the bubble or out of the tournament. This puts you in because no loss at Missouri or in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament is going to be so damaging that it puts you out of the tournament at this point now. It's all about seeding. So, big picture here for LSU is where I want to go because of context. And Will Wade pointed this out. LSU now gets a double bye in the SEC tournament for the third consecutive year. They're the only team in the league to get a double bye the last 3 years. They've also won 10 SEC games now for three straight seasons. That hasn't happened since Dale Brown was the coach, and they did it from 1988 to 1992. As disappointed as some fans may be because we had really lofty ambitions for this team, context matters, and understand what this team, even in an air quotes disappointing season, has been able to accomplish. Here's Will Wade talking about winning 10 straight conference games for three straight seasons.
Very, very impressive. I don't know if you guys know this, but this is the first time in 30 years we've won 10 or more SEC games three straight years. And so that's not easy to do, and certainly not easy to do around here. Very, very proud of Javonte and Daze. They came here when, you know, there wasn't a whole lot to believe in outside of me selling a vision. And, you know, this is our third straight year. We've gotten a double bye in the SEC tournament where we're going to be a top four seed. We came here, we said we wanted to build a consistent program. That's about as consistent as it gets, finishing in the top four of the SEC every year. You're going to give yourself an opportunity to do great things. But this is, like I said, it's the first time in 30 years we've had 10 or more wins in the SEC three straight years. This is the first time in 30 years we've had a winning record in the SEC for three straight years, as crazy as that sounds. So very, very proud of our guys, particularly Javonte and Daze.
Perspective matters. Context matters. Not only three straight years of 10 wins or more in the SEC, but as I mentioned, also three straight years they've been in the top four in the SEC, which Will Wade, from the time he got the job, said that was one of his goals.
We got here, people have been dying to finish in the top four every year. If I'd have told you when the day I took the job that three out of 4 years we'd finish in the top four, y'all would have all laughed me off the podium. You said, this guy's a clown. He's an idiot. There's no way that's going to happen. And so, I mean, I try to have some perspective. Now, do I want to be better than we are now? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I think we should be better than where we are now. But at the end of the day, it's not all bad.
Will Wade inherited a team that was 2-16 in the SEC and lost at one point 15 consecutive games in Johnny Jones's last season. Perspective matters. They are laying the foundation for what will be a consistent winner and a team that will consistently be in the NCAA tournament, giving itself a chance to go on a run. And that's where Will Wade wrapped up his press conference after the Vanderbilt win.
Look, anytime you can position yourself to be in the top four of the league, get the double buys, you know, play in the NCAA tournament, the more cracks you give yourself at it, eventually you're going to break through. That's just the way it works. And, you know, we're not going to win the SEC every year. But if you're in the top four every year, you're in the conversation every year, you're going to win it every three or four or five years. Like, you're going to have to give yourself an opportunity to win it. You keep giving yourself cracks and good seeding in the SEC tournament. Like, it's embarrassing to me we haven't won that thing since 1980. I want to win that thing. I mean, shit, we don't win games in that thing. We go there and we're one and done. Like, I feel bad. We got fans that travel there and pay money. And I mean, it's embarrassing to me what we've done in the SEC tournament. I want to get that thing going to where we can win in that thing. And, you know, to do that, you've got to keep positioning yourself for those top four seeds. And then, you know, once you get the NCAA tournament, a lot of it's about matchups. You just got to keep giving yourself an opportunity every year.
Heck of an accomplishment for a program that was DOA when Will Wade got here. Tigers will play at Missouri on Saturday. Now it's all about seeding for the NCAA tournament. Okay, it is the Locked On LSU podcast. Wednesday shows here were brought to you by Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bar in the world. You can take my word for it, or you can try it yourself at BuiltBar.com. These are great for the health-conscious guy or gal. If you need a meal replacement at breakfast, if you need a mid-morning or early afternoon snack, if you need post-workout protein, or you're just someone who likes to snack and you want something that's delicious and flavorful, but you don't want to go grab a candy bar, Built Bar is a great option. BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com. If you go to the website, you can even see a side-by-side nutritional fact comparison to some of the other top protein bar brands on the market. Educate yourself, but really just try it. That's going to be the clincher. When you try Built Bar, you will understand. Instead of being chalky and hard to chew, they're soft and easy to chew. All of their bars are covered in 100% chocolate. Flavors like caramel brownie and lemon almond cheesecake, or the orange or the salted caramel, which is one of my favorites. It's Built Bar. New promo code. Use the promo code LOCKEDON20, LOCKEDON20, LOCKEDON20 to save 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, two top teams in the NBA's Western Conference battle it out before the All-Star break. Will the Suns and the Lakers meet again in the Western Conference Finals? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. And today, out at LSU, there will be a doubleheader at the box. So LSU and Nichols were scheduled to play Tuesday night because of inclement weather in the Baton Rouge area. Paul Maneri and Seth Thibodeau, the head coach at Nichols, decided jointly to postpone the game. So LSU and Nichols will play at 2 o'clock today, Wednesday, and then LSU will maintain its regularly scheduled 6:30 first pitch against Southern tonight. So doubleheader for the Tigers. LSU's still going to go with Javon Coleman, the freshman lefty, in the first game. Now, I did talk to Seth Thibodeau on Tuesday, and he said his pitching plans are changed. He was going to start a sophomore righty, Chase Gehring, but as Thibodeau explained it to me, Nichols in the Southland Conference this year, they are only playing a handful of midweek games because the league is going to four weekend games. So guys have to throw on the day they're scheduled to throw. So Chase Gehring and the parade of relievers that would have thrown against LSU on Tuesday had to throw bullpens. So that means they will use a different wave of pitchers today in the matinee against LSU. Tonight, it'll be Will Helmers for LSU. So a couple of freshmen, lefty Javon Coleman in the first game, freshman righty Will Helmers in the nightcap. That's a little bit of a change. Remember, Garrett Edwards had been the midweek starter for LSU, and Helmers has done really nice work in relief after having a tough debut weekend at third base. Well, Helmers in four innings pitched, a couple of relief appearances, four strikeouts, just one walk, a 2.25 ERA. He does have a win to his credit. So we'll get to see these freshmen on the bump starting for the first time this season. Offensively, it's been a rough go for Nichols so far. They're hitting just .215 as a team. This is a game where you would hope Coleman and the LSU pitching staff continue to keep Nichols off balance a bit in this ballgame, although LSU did lose at Nichols the last time they played there. So Seth Thibodeau and the Colonels have had a little bit of success against LSU, but the Tigers did beat Nichols 14-0 on Saturday. So the Colonels headed right back to Baton Rouge where they were this past weekend. The other interesting tidbit to keep an eye on is what happens at second base. Of course, Cade Doty thought he had dislocated his shoulder in the postgame celebration after his walk-off. As I understand it, Doty injured that shoulder as a kid in an ATV or motorbike accident. So he had to have surgery on it, and from time to time, it'll pop out, as I understand. And after celebrating, he jarred it and thought maybe he had done that again. They got it checked out. The good news is nothing structurally wrong there, just a little sore. It's his left shoulder, so it's his non-throwing shoulder, but if you think about hitting and swinging a bat from the right side, I mean, that's your lead hand. Obviously, shoulder pain is going to be a problem. So Doty likely won't be out as long as they initially thought, which is the great news, but unlikely that he plays today in the doubleheader. So is this an opportunity to see Will Safford? Keep an eye on Safford, the freshman out of Baton Rouge. He's a guy that they've loved since he showed up on campus. They expected to be the everyday third baseman. Had a little bit of trouble defensively, which led to the musical chairs there early in the season. But maybe this is an opportunity with Doty out for Safford to get some run at second base. If he hits like they've seen him hit, then maybe even when Doty comes back, Doty moves to third base where he did get a look a year ago, and Safford stays at second. So keep an eye on that. Just something to look at as LSU has a doubleheader today out at Alec Box Stadium. All right, it is the Locked On LSU podcast, your team every day. We're brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag. LSU at Missouri on Saturday. The SEC tournament and all conference basketball tournaments are coming up. If you need a place to wager, BetOnline.ag is the fastest, easiest way to bet online for all of your sports action. If you don't have sports books in your town, wherever you live, well, here's a legal way to bet online. BetOnline.ag. They are your online sportsbook experts. College basketball, NBA, NHL, live in-game betting as well where the odds change. Prop bets on teams and players, futures bets. You can even bet on things like reality TV and award shows. It's all there at betonline.ag. Make sure when you sign up, it's free to sign up, but when you make your initial deposit of funds, make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they'll give you a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. How much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Prospects, scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. So we've had a lot of conversations so far about this LSU baseball offense, how potent it has been early. A guy who would know a lot about it is former Tiger Sean Ochinco, who was a member of the 2009 National Championship team and spent 3 years recently as a member of the LSU coaching staff, including as the hitting coach. As we've seen, 15 homers in the first seven games. That's the most since the 2009 national championship team, of which Sean was a part. And that was with the old bats, new deadened bats, and we're still seeing these numbers. I asked Sean Ochinco how.
I know. It's impressive. Well, first and foremost, Nolan Cain does a great job recruiting, right? He works extremely hard. His work speaks for itself, how high his recruiting classes have been ranked. And, Eddie Smith, I know Eddie really well. He's a really good hitting coach. He knows the game well. He puts a lot of effort into the guys. And I think they just bought in, you know, and a combination between Eddie and the new players and the talent that Nolan has brought in, you know, I mean, that's kind of the new age, right? Hit home runs. So that's what the team's doing now.
I believe that. I do.
Right.
But this pace, they're pacing, again, we're seven games in, but they're pacing to hit over 100 homers this year. That hasn't been done since 2009, and it's not like they've even come close. The closest they've come is in the 60s since then. Like, they're obliterating that pace early. Do you see a different – because my theory is just, look, they've recruited bigger guys. It's no longer Kramer and Cole and Laird and Stevenson. We're all great players, just smaller guys. Look at these dudes. I mean, Zach Arnold and Brody Droz. Everybody's 6'2", Cruz, they're all 6 foot, 6'2", 215, 220. I mean, it's just bigger guys. Like, has there been a shift in recruiting strategy?
You know, I know Nolan definitely tries to go out and find the best offensive players, and usually the best offensive players are the most physical. They're just bigger guys. You look at Major League Baseball players, you go in a Major League clubhouse, and guys are big. You know, they're physical. They can manhandle the baseball. So the bigger players definitely play. And I think it's a combination of that. I mean, Nolan has some big boys there now, some big physical guys. And I think the team, you know, has got good vibes going. And I think, like Coach Maneri said, I think it was a couple of days ago, that the weather was really warm last weekend. And we never seem to have that kind of weather this early in the season. So, I mean, I know from being a player and being a coach that when the weather's warm, the ball flies. And that's a huge factor early in the season. So I think kind of a combination of the bigger physical guys and the weather being warm and this kind of new age hitting with kind of slightly swing up on the ball and run some balls out of the yard is just kind of what you're seeing now through seven games.
Sean Ochinco is our guest. You mentioned Dylan Cruz, and it's hard to have any conversation about LSU without talking about this guy because he's so impressive. It's probably unfair to draw any comp with him to a guy like Bregman, but when you talk about making an immediate splash as a freshman and you just look at the guy and go, yep, he's special. He's a big leaguer. That's going to happen. I mean, is that the closest comp that LSU's had with Cruz?
Oh, I mean, just from watching him through seven games, it's impressive. I mean, this dude is physical. He's leaving the yard opposite field, as a freshman in college.
419.
You know?
419
like,
opposite field.
Understand. No, this kid has been as good as advertised, if not better, and I was talking to Nolan the other day, and I was like, look, dude, like, we should be so happy that we got this kid, because this kid is a stud. I mean, he could be playing in the major leagues in 2 years, Like, he's that good. So they are definitely pumped to have him, but I haven't seen a kid like him. I played with DJ LeMahieu, and he was a stud, but he didn't have that type of power. He didn't have that build. I mean, this kid is impressive.
Can you remember a freshman with that kind of power? I mean, you were there in 17, so, I mean, Dykeman was an upperclassman by that point, but I'm trying to think. Go ahead.
Dykeman had a ton of power. When I was a freshman, when I was a sophomore, we brought Matt Clark in from a junior college, and he had a ton of power, but he was already 21. He wasn't, 18 or 19 years old. I can't think of one freshman that has that much raw power. I mean, leaving the yard from pole to pole is that he has. So that's impressive.
Sean Ochinco is our guest, former Tiger catcher, won a national championship in 2009, of course, former LSU hitting coach as well. The approach here in the preseason as well within this program to lead up to conference play. What do you think right now, in a weird year, obviously, coming, you're still sort of in COVID a little bit, but what do you think the objective is for Maneri and Nolan and AD over the next couple of weeks before they start conference play? Like, what would they like to have solidified when they go into conference play?
You know, you'd like to have, the guys that you can count on 1 through 9 in your lineup, maybe one or two guys that slide in and out, or, three guys that maybe rotate, but really have your 7 or 8 hitters solidified in the lineup. You know, your weekend rotation, obviously, and then kind of trying to figure out who are the back end bullpen guys. They got Beck, they got Fano, they got Hillier, they got a bunch of new guys. So just kind of trying to put all those pieces together and try to figure out what, you know, what the best team they have on, you know, on paper is and who's performed up to this point. But like, you know, once the SEC starts, things change. The competition level raises, you know, and, you know, so sometimes, you know, you think, you know, and then by the time you get to that point, maybe there's some adjustments. So you're just trying to feel it out.
Does he, Paul, generally have either a stated or a known sort of benchmark deadline where he would like to have all those things, his 1-9 and his rotation pretty much set? I mean, obviously you'd like to have it at game one, but is there a point in the calendar where he'd like to know?
No, definitely not. He's not that type of guy at all. I mean, he's a day-to-day guy. I mean, as the season progresses, and the biggest thing with Coach Mary is just building the trust in the guys. Which guys can he trust? Which guys does he believe in? And, you know, that's really what he goes by. There's no date or time or week at all. Because I know, you know, as playing, things change throughout the years. Guys get hurt. Guys move around. Maybe we think someone's a dude, but then maybe he goes through a couple-week struggle and he gives somebody else a chance and that guy gets hot. So there's definitely no concrete lineup, man. It's just kind of play out through the season. And, you know, by the time halfway point hits, maybe halfway through SEC, then you'll probably see most of the same faces consistently.
I got to ask you one pitching question. When you look at this rotation, when you see – and it's early, but when you see Hilmar Solabis – and obviously, you've been around the program for, you know, 15 years. What do you see maybe with a comp or comparative to some of the other great staffs that have been through here when you look at those three guys and how they've started the season?
What they have is impressive. I mean, when I was here, it was Renato Coleman and Austin Ross. And, you know, no slight to Ross, but, I mean, A.J. Labis is a really good Sunday starter, you know. And Jaden Hill is probably comparable to Renato in 09 with where he was at. And then, you know, even Lewis Coleman and Marceau. So, I mean, they got a really good, I mean, when you can run out three guys like that on the weekend is really what you're looking for, especially on Sunday, because that's the swing day. That's the difference between sweeping or getting swept or winning 2 out of 3. So having a guy like Labis there who can throw a lot of strikes, especially on Sunday as the weather starts to warm up and teams start scoring runs, that's huge. So they're a good team, man. I think they're going to be really good down the stretch.
Okay, that'll do it for us here on a Wednesday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. Be back here tomorrow. We'll be recapping a full day of baseball out at the box. Until then, Locked On LSU, your team every day.